I have to tell you, I was so happy last night. I had double and triple checked the bulletin, and I thought I'd finally produced a bulletin without mistake. So, and it's probably more egregious than ever. So, anyway, here we are. So, Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She'll bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Well, in terms of name recognition, there aren't too many roads that are more well known in America than the Yellow Brick Road. And when Dorothy arrived in Oz and needed to find her way to the wizard, she, of course, had instruction to follow the Yellow Brick Road. There's even a song about it, right? And we might wish that life were just that simple for us. That there was just a yellow brick road in front of us that we could follow along. Or if you've seen different ads by Fidelity Investments, you know, and they show this green path that you're supposed to be on, and you walk down this green path, and this is the path to financial peace and happiness. Well, this passage today does not speak about the yellow brick road. It doesn't talk about the green road to financial peace and contentment. But it does talk about the path of light. And it calls us to follow the path of light. And more specifically, it calls you to take that next step toward the light, to walk in the direction of the light that, as verse 18 tells us, will shine ever brighter unto the perfect day. And so that's the message for us this morning, that we are to walk toward the light. It's really a pretty simple message. It's really pretty basic. And yet it's very difficult for us to do, isn't it? We get off the path of light so easily, so readily. We get tripped up and go aside to the right or to the left, as the scripture so often tells us. And yet, the message here is so clear, so simple. Walk toward the light. And what we find is that actually it's an intergenerational message, isn't it? It's a message from a father to a son. And it's a message where the Father is calling His Son to listen to this instruction. Listen to this instruction and listen while you're young and impressionable. But the Father is not the first one to give this lesson, is He? And He makes that clear to His Son. You know, this used to drive me nuts. Dads always, they always know somebody who got their eye put out by a paper airplane. Or they know somebody who put their hand too far out the window and it got taken off by a telephone pole as they drove by. Or they know somebody who, you know, stuck the vacuum up to their brother's face and his eye popped out. Or, you know, there are all these ridiculous things that fathers know that they give warnings to. And they, you say, how, you know, I'm a third of the way to 100, right? And I haven't really met these types of interesting people. But I can still tell my kids that my dad knew these types of interesting people. Well, the Father here is giving a parental lecture that was given to Him. Right? It's an intergenerational lecture. Let me tell you, Son, something. And it's something that my Father told me when I was your age. And we see really the covenant at work here, don't we? We see parents instructing children who will instruct children who will instruct children's children. In that regard, it would have been appropriate for us to sing Psalm 78 today, which talks about the different generations instructing each other and calling the next generation to obedience and to not be like your fathers were. And this is a similar type thing. This is a lecture that the godly have been giving their children for generation after generation. Son, walk toward the light. It will guide your way. It will keep you on the good path. It will keep you from harm. It will put you in the way of honor and of blessing. And we instinctively know this, that it's good to walk toward the light, don't we? I'm considering here in the next few months having a toe transplant. And the reason is this year with having the twins, our bedroom has been quite crowded with porta cribs and tubs of clothing and laundry hampers and all sorts of other things. And when I come to bed at night, sometimes Ruth's already gone to bed, or I get up in the middle of the night to get a twin, I have toes that have taken quite a beating this year. Because it's not good to walk around in the dark. And you know this from your houses. You know, there can be leaving out the Legos that seemed like a good idea when you get up in the middle of the night does not seem like such a good idea. Or, you know, putting that item where you thought you would see it in the morning, all of a sudden your toe finds it in the middle of the night. And so we know it's hard, even if you walk into a room with a bed that's where you like have the hallway light on, right, and you're walking into a room and you're walking away from the light, we know that that's a treacherous experience. But if we're going the other direction and the hallway light is on and we're coming out of the room, that's a much easier experience because we can see our way. And in the same way, this passage calls us that your life is going to be a lot easier, right? You're going to avoid a lot of toe stubbing if you walk on the path toward the light. And so the call is, therefore, get wisdom. Once again, get wisdom. And what is wisdom? Remember, wisdom is living life according to the way that God views the world. Wisdom is following Jesus Christ. It's applying God's way of thinking to the decisions that we make. And so this passage stands then in a host of biblical passages that encourage us to walk on the path toward the light. Walk toward the light. Jeremiah 6:16 says, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So this idea of walking toward the light is a very basic illustration. It's a great one, though, because it's one that we can identify with from our experience, and it's one that's easy for us to remember and to apply to our lives. That we are called here to follow Christ, to follow after Him, and to follow after the light that He has put in our hearts. And it becomes a very basic rule of thumb for our lives. As we make decisions, does this decision take me closer to the light or further away from the light? And the reality is, sometimes we like to sit around and talk about complicated ethical dilemmas. Well, what would you do if you were in this situation? And the plane has crashed in the Himalayas, and it's you and all these dead corpses, and what would you do? And so we come up with these extreme circumstances, and that's fine and good. But the reality is most of the decisions that you and I have to make are not that complex. Most of the decisions that we have to make are pretty clear, whether we're headed toward the light or away from the light. It's kind of like playing the game Chutes and Ladders. When you play the game Chutes and Ladders, you know which squares you do not want to land on, because they end in this big slide, and you know which squares you do want to land on, because they have the ladder going up to a higher level. Well, the reality is generally the decisions that you and I have to make are along those lines, aren't they? Where it's pretty clear whether this decision results in a big chute or a little chute or a ladder, and it will actually help me out. Most of our decisions are that clear. Now, the challenge, of course, is to live that way. We see the light. Christ has made that clear in our hearts. We know the way we ought to be walking. But then we don't walk that way at all. And so instead of walking toward the light, we walk away from the light. But the call of this passage is for us to live heading toward that light. Verse 18 again, to live in light of eternity. In the adult class on John, with the book by Calvin, it's one of the challenges that he poses in there to us, is, are we making decisions in light of eternity? Are we considering what's the impact on my soul of this decision? Does this decision help me get ready for eternity, help me be more prepared to glorify and enjoy God? Or does it take me further away from glorifying and enjoying God? Our problem is that as we make decisions in life, we have trouble thinking past the next 5 minutes. That's not just little kids who have trouble thinking past the next 5 minutes. That's grown people who have trouble thinking about, how does this impact me? And even when we do think past 5 minutes, we might think even 10 years down the road, or, we might do retirement planning and think 30 or 40 years down the road. But how little time we use actually considering what is that light of the perfect day, and how does this decision aim me in that direction? How does this decision help me build more trust in the Lord? How does this decision help me love Him more? Or am I going the way of more darkness in my life? See, it's the challenge that we face in our decisions day by day, moment by moment, is the same challenge that we face in dieting. You know, nobody got overweight from eating one M&M. I'm sure I can handle one. I'll just have one. Well, just one more. Nobody got overweight from eating one more M&M. And all of a sudden, there went the diet out the window, right? We don't see that M&Ms could possibly lead to a problem. And we don't see in our spiritual life, well, this one little detour off the path of light, this one little detour can't possibly result in my harm. But in fact, we do get off the path. And so this passage calls us to hear the message, the intergenerational message, Father knows best. Walk toward the light. This passage, though, also does not only answer for us what we ought to be doing in terms of walking toward the light. It also tells us who. Who ought to be walking toward the light? We've already acknowledged that as adults, that we have trouble thinking past the next 5 minutes. And so that this message is to walk toward the light is profound enough for the adults to learn from. But it's not restricted at all to just the adults, is it? In fact, it's a message primarily intended for children. And there's the call here that you are never too young. No one in this room is too young to consider, where does this path end? Where does this decision that I'm making, when I decide, am I going to obey my parents or not? When I decide, who am I going to be friends with or who am I not going to be friends with? When I make decisions about what kind of book am I going to get at the library and what kind of book am I going to leave on the shelf? Nobody here is too young to make those kinds of decisions and to think in terms of, does this book, does this friend, does this thing I'm thinking about, does this way of responding to my parents, does this way of responding to my teacher lead me closer to the light or further away from the light? So no one is too young to consider, where does this path end? Where does this next step, if I head off in this direction, where does it end? Where does it take me? And so it's important then, in that regard, for all of us to weigh our actions. Does this take me closer to the light or not? Furthermore, it is particularly important for those of you who are young to consider this and to think about it as the author says here, as the lecture goes, consider it while you're tender. Consider it while you're impressionable, because good habits are hard to break. If you build good habits into your life at a young age, those are habits that will stick with you. So bad habits are hard to break, but good habits are also hard to break, which is why from a young age you want to learn to do what's right. You want to learn to walk in ways of the light, in ways of righteousness. One of the reasons why this is true is because when you're young and impressionable, your opportunity for retention, for memory, and remembering the things you've learned is much higher. And so therefore, kids, don't think that the decisions that you make today are unimportant. Don't think that just because you're deciding how to spend $1 as opposed to $1,000 that you might be deciding on later in life, that deciding how to spend that dollar is unimportant. Because you're setting patterns and habits for the course of your life. And so there's a, recognize that there's a lifelong impact to the early decisions that you make in your life. And parents, then along with that, we need to be diligent to teach our children to walk toward the light. And how do we teach our kids to walk toward the light? Well, we give them a good example of walking toward the light. Is our example, tell our kids that the most important thing for you is to be walking toward the light? Or do we communicate to our kids, it's okay, sometimes, you know, there are times when it's fine to compromise. There are times when it's really not that important to be headed toward the light. So our example is one way we teach our kids. We also teach our kids through our passionate concern that they be walking toward the light. Just like this father, he remembers the benefit of what his father had told him, and now he's pleading with his own son, walk toward the light. Also, as we think about how to encourage our kids to walk toward the light, it's important to note, and we'll see it again in the book of Proverbs also, but in the book of Proverbs, notice that instruction in righteousness precedes discipline. Okay? So as a parent, you need to make sure to instruct in righteousness before you give all the lists of don't do this or I will spank you or, you know, whatever, however the list may, you know, if you do this, then we're going to force you to do extra work in this area. Well, first, as parents, we have an obligation to positive instruction, even as the father is doing here. And so, okay, so we have the, what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be walking toward the light. Who is supposed to be walking toward the light? Everyone is to be walking toward the light. You're never too young to evaluate decisions based on, is this taking me toward the light or away from the light? But recognize also that there are hindrances in our walking toward the light. Right? What's going to make it difficult for you to walk toward the light? Well, one thing that's going to make it difficult is in verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. The pursuing the great American dream. Pursuing all of our own getting can easily get in the way of our pursuit of the light. Jesus says in Matthew 16:26, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? All of us have the danger of the things that we are trying to get, getting in the way of our pursuit of righteous living. That may be a pursuit of an education, and that just monopolizes your time and is so much becomes your focus that you don't take time to spend with the Lord, that you don't take time to evaluate actions and to think through, what am I doing? You're so busy trying to pursue this body of knowledge that you want to get your arms around, get your mind around. It could be the pursuit of a job. It can be the pursuit of money. It can be the pursuit of pleasure and trying to get. We forget to make sure that we are getting wisdom and understanding. And so that can be one hindrance from walking toward the light. We also can find ourselves distracted by the fact, or we can also find ourselves not walking toward the light because we get distracted so easily. We've already talked about this a little bit, right? The one M&M. It won't cost me. It's not really a problem. This one little step off to the side, it's only a slight detour. I can get right back on the path and still get where I need to go. And that's the way so often that we deal with the sin in our lives. It's just a little detour. I can still see the light up ahead. I'm not I'm not really lost. I know where I'm going. This is just a little side trip. And all of a sudden we wake up and we realize that we've fallen into the pit and we're in trouble. So recognize that detours are costly. The third hindrance that we see here is the hindrance of those who ensnare. And verses 14 to 17 talk about these people. That don't walk in the way with them. Don't walk on the path of the evil. For they don't sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The ensnarers want us to come along with them on the downward spiral of sin that Romans 1 describes. Come along with us. Get on this downward spiral. You can travel this road along with us. And they aren't happy unless they get people to go along with them. Brothers and sisters, we need to be careful to raise children who understand that the world does want to ensnare them. And one of the reasons why we don't raise children that way is because we don't believe it ourselves. And we think that the world is neutral. That they may be going off in sin, but that they really don't care what we do. That they aren't concerned about whether I live in righteousness or not. Well, the scripture says very clearly that the wicked are trying to ensnare us. That the wicked are trying to seduce us and take us away from the path of righteousness. That the world, the people in the world are not morally neutral in their attitude toward people walking in righteousness. But that they want to help us make just one little compromise. So that then they can help us make a second, bigger compromise. Brent was telling me a couple months ago that he's working now as a chaplain right at the federal penitentiary. And he was saying that one of the important things that they emphasize to the chaplains is that there's safety for them in following the rules and making sure you follow the rules. So, for instance, the chaplains aren't allowed to give the prisoners anything. I think some Bibles and, you know, there are some allowances. But so, for instance, one of the things that a prisoner will do is you'll be sitting there talking to them and they'll say, "Hey, can I borrow your pencil?" "Yeah, sure, okay." And they'll take some notes or whatever. Well, at the end of the discussion, they'll say, "How about I'll just keep this pencil. I need one." Well, that's a no-no. But what are they trying to do? Well, if you let them keep the pencil, then they're going to come back next time and ask for something a little bit bigger. And all of it in that time, then if you say, "Well, no, I won't give you that," then they're going to report you. And now they've got their hook in you. And then they get a second hook in and a third hook. All of a sudden, you're bringing in drugs and all sorts of other things that you're smuggling in because now you're concerned that you're going to lose your job if you don't do the next thing for this prisoner. They aren't asleep. The world's not asleep. The world is packaging things in such a way so that they can ensnare the people of God and lead us down paths of wickedness. And they know that. I'm not saying that every day, that every moment, that when they package something that they're thinking in that way, but they are some of the time. They're intentionally thinking that way some of the time. Their motives are not always neutral. And so recognize that one of the hindrances in walking toward the light is these ensnarers who won't rest until they get you to join in with them. Come along with us. Well, with all these hindrances, And with the call to walk toward the light, we have to acknowledge that we know that we get tripped up. We know that it doesn't take long for us to get sidetracked from following the Lord. It doesn't take us long at all to be walking in our own direction. But the encouragement that this passage has for us is that progress is assured as you walk toward the light. There's a promise here for us. It's not just a call, but also verse 18, notice, is an indicative. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. That those who are justified, we could say, will walk in light. Growing up in southern Indiana, I don't know what the equivalent is in Pennsylvania. You'll have to tell me. But there's a whole series of jokes that are told about people from Kentucky. And one of my favorites is that there's somebody in Kentucky fishing on the bank of the Ohio River, and there's somebody in Indiana, and they're out late one night fishing along the bank of, they're both on their respective banks of the Ohio River. And the person from Indiana calls across to the guy in Kentucky and says, why don't you come on over here? I'm catching a lot more fish than you are. I'll turn on my flashlight and you can walk right across the beam and come over here and join me, and then we can catch fish together. The guy from Kentucky says, oh no, I'm not that stupid. I'm not that stupid. I know that as soon as I get halfway across, you'll turn off the flashlight. Well, in the same way, we might wonder, how do we know that we can get to the light? How do we know that this light that shines ever brighter under the perfect day, how do we know that with all of our struggles, with all of our side trips, and all the darkness, and this magnetic attraction in our hearts toward the darkness, time and time again, and the thing that we want to do, like I want to go toward the light, we don't do it, and we get tripped up. How do you know that you'll arrive at the light of that perfect day? This is where we give thanks for the reality of progressive sanctification. That he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And that no matter our straying, that the Lord is committed to working in us and to bring our path to that perfect day. And so we see here that in fact, and this is the progressive aspect of our sanctification. By sanctification, we mean walking in holiness. And what the scripture teaches us is that the people of God will make progress in walking in holiness. That as we grow older and older in the Lord, that we will come closer and closer. See how verse 18 reinforces that, right? The path gets brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. This light that we're headed toward, it shines more and more, right? Just like coming out of the dark room into the hallway, right? When you're far back in the room, it's darker. There's more things to stumble over, but as you get closer and closer to that doorway, the light shines brighter and you can see more clearly. Those of you who have done caving can think of this in terms of crawling out of a cave. And you can be a long way away from the entrance to that cave and you can see that light because of how pitch black it is. As you get closer and closer, the light gets brighter and brighter so that you can hardly even keep your eyes open because you've been in this cave so long and have gotten so accustomed to the darkness. That's God's plan for those who love Him. That's God's plan for those who know Him and who are justified through Jesus Christ. God's plan for you is not for you to have immediate, perfect light. And so don't be surprised that you don't experience that. But God's plan for you is to transform you from glory to glory. To take the little bit of light that we have right now, and that as we live for Him, that we get a little more light. And the light begets more light. And as we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we get a little more light and a little more light until finally we will be transformed into that eternal weight of glory, that eternal glory that He has for us, that eternal glory of perfection when we will walk forever in the light. And that's where this path ends, isn't it? It ends in the perfect day. That as we walk toward the light, it doesn't just take us out into the hallway of our house. But this light that we pursue now ends in perfect and complete fellowship with God. Psalm 16, verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And it's hard. We can't really think about that. Verse 18 in Proverbs 4. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. We can't really think of that promise there without also thinking of Revelation 22:5. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. That one day, you and I are going to experience no more darkness. No more detours in our service of Christ. No more distractions. No more problems. No more unwise or no more foolish behavior. But we will experience the perfect day. Some of us are a little more aware of the fact that we're on a journey to eternity than others. Because some of us are closer to that perfect day than others. But make no mistake, every single one of you in Christ is on a journey to eternity. Every one of you is headed toward an eternity filled with light. And then the question then for us is, how do we live in light of that eternity? And more specifically then, what is the next step toward the light for you? Those steps can come in a variety of different flavors, a variety of different ways. Maybe the next step for you is a step toward believing in Jesus. Maybe you say, I'm not on the path of light at all. I have no light in my heart. I don't know what this light is that we're talking about even. And if you don't know what the light is that's being talked about, then you need to come to Christ. You need to confess your sin and come to Him with faith, repenting of sin, and calling on Him and asking Him, Lord, give me the light so that I can walk in that light. For others of you, the next step toward the light means that there's some particular sin that you are walking toward, and you need to turn away from that sin and walk toward the light. For others of you, there's maybe a particular area of righteousness, a command to obey that you haven't wanted to do. You know, the light's there, and you need to, in righteousness and trusting the Lord, take that step by pursuing in faith, by pursuing righteousness, by pursuing honoring the Lord. Each one of us, though, can answer that question. What's the next step toward the light for me? And we should answer that question, not only in, say, one area of our life, but that's a question that we ought to ask about all the activities in our lives, about everything that we do. Is this step that I'm about to take, is it a step toward the light, or is it a step away from the light? Brothers and sisters, walk toward the light. And may God give us grace to do that and to bring us down that path that's like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and for the challenge that you give to us. Lord, we acknowledge that much of the disobedience in our lives, much of the darkness in our lives is darkness that we choose, darkness that we embrace, darkness that we pursue. And Lord, we pray that you would give us grace to turn away from that darkness and to pursue the light. Bring conviction to us, we pray. Cause us to walk in light, even as you are in the light. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.